Hey, folks, welcome to Hawthorn Obsession. I'm Marcus.
I'm Michael.
And, folks, we're where we want it to be. We want it to be in the top four, and we're there. Michael, it's a good place.
Yeah, it's just barely there, Marcus. Yeah, look, it's I've actually enjoyed the week off footy. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think it's a good idea. I don't know where it came from, but I think it's good to sort of have a bit of a wind down before the finals. I'm sure it'll probably make the crowd a bit bigger. There's a bit more anticipation for the Hawthorn Geelong game. It's the only final in Melbourne this weekend, which is a big deal. And I think, based on the way Hawthorn play, they probably needed a bit of a rest. So I'm pretty happy with the week off that we were given. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It was I guess, a nice, unexpected opportunity to do other stuff on a weekend. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was. Now, we'll get into that Hawthorn-Collingwood game, which feels like quite a long time ago now. But just over the last couple of weeks, in particular, I think because there's no games going on, there's been a lot of trade talk and, you know, off-season recruitment sort of talk. And Hawthorn have sort of been involved in a lot of it, probably the majority of it. We've already sort of talked about this before, and it's sort of pretty well known now that Hawthorn are after Tom Mitchell from Sydney. I don't know if you've seen him play too much, Marcus, but I mean, he is a good midfielder. It's sort of it's funny that they picked out him of everyone. He's the sort of guy who's actually a really high disposal getter and a really sort of strong contested player. One thing I sort of have a little bit of a query on is sometimes I guess his impact on games. And it's sort of funny that you say that because he's got, you know, 34 disposals a game most of the time. But I just feel like I've always felt that he's been a little bit of a stat rat. Like, I don't often see him sort of breaking lines or kicking goals. So, I mean, I've got no doubt that Hawthorn got him, and it sort of looks like they will at this stage, that he'd be a really sort of good contribution. And he would make Hawthorn a better team, and I guess that's what you want. But I guess there's a couple of other players like Jaeger O'Meara, that have been sort of linked to Hawthorn as well, that I would actually probably prefer over Tom Mitchell. I don't know. What do you think?
Look, I don't mind the Tom Mitchell thing. I mean, clearly that's the part of the ground we need to actually focus on for this trade anyway. So I know why they're going after him. I don't mind the O'Meara idea as well too. I think he's a more talented player, but he is injury prone though, so that's interesting. But still, I think, look, if we get both players, Michael, is that any chance of that, do you think?
Well, I mean, it seems pretty unlikely, given that, you know, Tom Mitchell's he's a top sort of player, so you'd have to give up a lot for a young midfielder that's pretty good. And O'Meara is exactly the same. Regardless of the fact that he hasn't played for the last 2 years, he's still going to cost a lot. And I think Gold Coast want two first-round picks or something equivalent to that. So I wouldn't rule it out, but I think it's pretty unlikely. From what I understand, my understanding is, comes from the same place that everyone else gets it from, just like watching footy shows and reading the paper and things like that.
Yeah.
The talk is that it's sort of gotten down to Hawthorn and Essendon, and that it's one of those two clubs that will get him. I heard a lot of players or ex-players in the media sort of saying that O'Meara definitely wouldn't have left Gold Coast without knowing exactly where he was going. So that sort of suggests that he's already made his mind up. But, I mean, I don't really know what that means. That doesn't really make it any more likely that he'll pick Hawthorn.
I like him at Hawthorn, Michael.
I would like him too, but I don't know how Hawthorn could possibly pull that off. It's just sort of getting two sort of A-grade or, you know, close to A-grade midfielders in the one go. I just don't know if Hawthorn have enough to give away to get that. So it's a bit of a strange one. I feel like we'll miss out on one of them. If we're going to miss out on one, I'm sure it'll be O'Meara because Hawthorn will seem to be really invested in Tom Mitchell.
Well, either one would be fine, Michael. I'm happy with either one of those. But if we can get both, it'll be brilliant. But yes, probably one.
There was one. There's also been a link with Tyrone Vickery, which I don't know if you've read too much about that, but
yes, I have been. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, look, initially I was kind of like, oh, that's sort of interesting because I think it's something we spoke about that before the Collingwood game, not on the show or anything like that, but just we spoke about it just before the game, like, oh, you know, we need another tall forward or another ruckman, kind of like a David Hale type. And I'm not sure who it would be. And Tyron Vickery, we sort of mentioned. But now that's actually sort of happening, I'm pretty negatively towards it, to be honest. I watch a lot of Richmond games because I've got a lot of family members that are Richmond supporters, and he's actually a very frustrating player, Marcus. He's got a pretty awful work rate, and I don't know. There's a highlights video on YouTube with Tyron Vickery. There's a game where he kicks six goals, and honestly, it's about the most unimpressive six goal haul that you've ever seen in your life. And it's just a combination of sort of luck, just being in a funny position, and really dodgy free kicks. And look, he's obviously a talented player, but I mean, I'm not really too sold on a Hawthorn picking up a player that's got an attitude problem or a work rate problem. I don't know. I'm thinking more like I would rather not go down that path.
It's funny, you know, on the day that the news came out, you know, through social media, I was saying to Richmond supporters at work, I was saying that, look, I think we've got Vickery at Hawthorn. And they said, couldn't you have picked him up earlier? How about the year before? They're happy to get rid of him, Michael. And I think he's one of those players, when you first see him, you think he's a bit soft and he's a bit like, but he has got skills though. And I think that's what Hawthorn recognised. This bloke has got skills and he can kick goals. And we're looking for someone to be like a David Hale type replacement in the forward line or someone like that. And I think Vickery probably sort of fits that mix a bit, not perfectly. But, of course he comes to Hawthorn. I'd imagine he needs a bit of hardening up. And I think some of those Hawthorn players will definitely harden him up a bit. And of course, you come to Hawthorn, you'll think, well, this is the place where premierships happen. So just even that would be inspiring for him to actually change his ways, I'm hoping. But, you know, I think if he comes to Hawthorn, we could find him. And every player who comes to Hawthorn always plays better. They always become a better player, Michael.
David Hale is a really good comparison, and that's the one that everybody sort of made.
They are,
I think that works so well, having like a guy who could play ruck and forward both well, and Vickery can do that. But the difference between, when we recruited David Hale, I think we were completely desperate for ruckman. I mean, from memory, we had Brent Renouf and Wade Skipper, and that was it. I mean, that was kind of a different time, and I think we're just taking the best we could get. And that worked really well, but I think David Hale, unlike Tyron Vickery, never had any sort of attitude or work rate issues. There were sort of no question marks over that at all.
I don't know.
That's probably what worries me the most. It's not so much whether or not he can be a good player, because I think Vickery actually is pretty talented.
Yeah, I think
and
he is.
I know he hasn't done very well at Richmond, but I don't know if it's just Richmond though. I don't think that's necessarily fair.
He's in a pretty rubbish environment.
He is a lazy. Yeah, but I know that. But he is. He has played. I mean, I know Richmond have had a terrible year this year, but they did make the last three final series in a row. So it hasn't been that poor of a team that he's been in. Yeah. And it's more than his work rate that sort of bothers me the most. It's sort of like myself and people that I know that go for Richmond. Sort of make fun of we'll sort of call it the Vickery run. It's sort of like this loping. I don't think I've ever seen him actually sprint, which is a very strange thing to say about a footballer. But I don't think I've ever seen that before, and that's what I'm talking about. And I don't know if a change of club will necessarily change that. I know Hawthorn have a really good track record of improving players, but I can't think of any players that have come to Hawthorn with question marks over their attitude that we've been able to change. The only one I can think of is Dale Garlett, and that obviously didn't work out very well.
If I can just chip in there, Michael, I actually think that Hawthorn don't usually make mistakes when they recruit players. So when they go out and find a player at another club, they don't usually make a dud decision, and they also don't make a decision which is rashly made. It's well thought out. So they've worked out, how can this guy add value to our club? How can this guy be improved at our club? So I reckon they've got it pretty much sorted out. I reckon he's coming to our club. They've got plans for him already, and I think he'll become a good player at Hawthorn next year. I hope he does come. I hope we get both those on-ballers plus Ty Vick plus Vickery, and off we go.
Yeah, well, I know what he'll add, and I know why Hawthorn are interested in him, is that if there's two things we really need next season, it's a key forward, because we haven't had one all year, and that's really sort of hurt our forward line a lot. And now that Jonathan Segler's not going to be there for all or most of next year, and we really need another ruckman as well, because we're a bit thin in that department without him. So yeah, I totally understand why they're going for him. And if there's, you know, you think of all the ruckman forwards out there, there aren't too many that can play, that can genuinely play both. And this guy's probably the best available of those.
Yeah.
But so I get it, but I'm sort of, it's the first time really, I mean, because, you know, if you think of all the other ones like McAvoy, Gibson, Burgoyne, and all those players that have all been fantastic for Hawthorn, this is the first one where I've kind of been like, I don't really see this, or I don't know where they're going with that one. It's just a bit, seems a little odd to me. But look, I'm not necessarily against it. I'm just sort of I'm not very excited, I'll put it that way. A little bit more sort of apprehensive, and I'm not really confident that he's going to be a great player for Hawthorn. But hey, he hasn't technically signed for Hawthorn yet, so I shouldn't talk about it like
there
that.
There you go. So what else is going on, Michael?
Yeah, so we played Collingwood in our last game, Marcus, and I think that, I mean, at least from an entertainment perspective, that might be the game of the year. I can't think of one off the top of my head that was more entertaining than that game. What do you think?
I loved it. I thought it was really, I mean, it had everything there. It was the goals were there, the excitement of the finish, and it was just, I mean, it was a really interesting game, and a couple of players, which we'll speak about shortly, who I particularly enjoyed watching their performance. Very impressed by a couple of the young players, Michael.
Yeah, that's right. I think though, what we sort of wanted from that game more than anything else was not a really close, entertaining game, but a game where Hawthorn sort of came out breathing fire and pushed the opposition over and sort of stormed into the finals, because this game meant everything for Hawthorn. I mean, it was for a top four spot.
That's right. Yeah,
and they didn't really play that way. And in fact, we probably got what we've gotten for most of the year. Yeah. They did the bare minimal to get past.
You know, I reckon it's just how we roll this year. This is how we do it, you know. This is our thing. We're not going to thrash teams in the finals. We're not going to thrash anyone. If we're going to win, it's going to be like that. It's going to be close and dirty and scary right all the way to the very end. I think we don't have that capacity to actually maul and destroy teams anymore. And I think we're just getting more of what we can expect, Michael, from the finals. Scary as it is.
I remember after the shock of it sort of worn off. It was a couple of weeks ago now, but just the finish to that game, Jack Fitzpatrick kicking a big 70-meter goal.
How good was that?
To win the game out of the centre. Well, it was great, Marcus.
It was but great.
I think that was pretty much the opposite of everything else that happened in that game. We struggled with clearances.
Yeah,
forward line entries were really poor. Yeah. And I thought like every goal we kicked was a big effort. Like it took a lot of passing to get to goal. And so for a ruckman to grab it out of the ruck and stroll out of the centre and kick a big long goal with a vacant goal square was completely unexpected. So, yeah, I'm pretty much in shock. I don't know where that came from. But I think we should talk about Jack Fitzpatrick, because that was sort of the guy that everyone was talking about after the game.
It was that he played – I thought he played pretty well, Michael, considering.
Yeah. Yeah, so did I. Actually, before the game, I put out a tweet on our Twitter account asking, you know, who's the better inclusion today, Schoenmakers or Fitzpatrick? And it was – you know, it was actually unanimously Schoenmakers. I don't think anybody said Fitzpatrick would be a better one, which I was surprised by, because I thought that the inclusion of Fitzpatrick filled needs better than or more so than Schoenmakers, having a key forward and a ruckman. And I thought that, you know, all in all, Fitzpatrick, I think it was probably a little overstated how well he played. I mean, he wasn't a star or anything like that, but I thought he did a good job. He was, you know, he provided a contest and brought the ball to ground up forward, and he was pretty competent in the ruck as well, and he kicked two goals. So I think he definitely justified his spot in the team, and I've got no doubt he'll be in the team this week against Geelong.
Yeah, I like the way he leads at the ball and really, like, he tacks the ball. I like that. He only made one sort of completely ridiculous mistake is when a ruckman's got to know the limitations, and for some reason he was in the – I think took a beautiful mark at – I think it was the halfback flank, and then he kicked it right across ground, and it was intercepted by a Collingwood player, ended up being a goal. So, but it was a beautiful mark, though. But he's got – when he thinks straight and plays within his limitations, like McAvoy and those guys do, then we're all good. But yeah, I think he's going to add some value, Michael, to our final series.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm probably – a little bit sort of disenchanted though by Schoenmakers. I know
he was okay. He was okay.
No, see, I'm kind of on the other side. I didn't think he was okay at all. I actually thought I remember at quarter time you said that you thought he did a couple of nice things, but maybe I missed those. But I didn't think he did at all. And then I didn't really see him for the rest of the game. And you know what he didn't do, and I knew he wouldn't do it, and I don't know if they even expected him to, but he didn't present as a key forward. He didn't bring the ball to ground. He didn't get to any contests. He just doesn't play that way.
No.
I mean, at his best, he's a good sort of, I don't know what I'd call it, like a third or fourth sort of forward in the mix there that doesn't really have a match-up and can sort of get away with that and do some damage. And he's a really, really good shot for goal.
He is,
I mean, there is sort of assets, but... because there's no Roughhead there and, you know, he just sort of gets a bit more attention. And I don't know, I think he's played four games this year and I know he was coming back from a long absence, but for me he's played four games this year and they've all been pretty poor. So I'm not really sure about Ryan Schoenmakers.
I tell you who did play well though, Michael, Ryan Burton.
Yes, he did.
That kid,
Ryan Burton was good.
He can play, and playing in the back line is interesting. He has skills, he has good judgment. I mean, quite a few times he had the ball in his hands and he did a beautiful pass to wherever he needed to direct it to, and that kid can really play. And obviously they like him. Fourth game, he's in the seniors, he's still there. I reckon he's going to stay in the team. That kid can really play, makes good decisions. Whereas, so I don't know whether you keep him in, you keep Martin in, and you drop it off. Sorry, Martin Fitzpatrick, and you drop Schoenmakers. Is that what you're suggesting, Michael?
Well, actually, I just want to talk about Burton first. I did think he was really, really good. He got a lot of sort of, I mean, I think he had a 92% disposal efficiency. I think that number's probably a little bit misleading because he did get a lot of sort of free disposal in the back line. But I liked him too. He seemed to make good decisions.
He did.
I think that's a really good sign going forward.
For a young player, that's great.
Yep. I didn't realize he could play in the back line as well, which I liked. But in terms of changes, there's a difference between what I want to happen and what I actually think will happen.
Yep.
So I think we're all in agreement that that McAvoy and Stratton
Australians
will be
they'll
come into the team, no doubt about that. And I think most people sort of agree that Pittenet is going to come out of the side.
Correct.
And I thought he played all right, but you know, obviously you want another player in there.
So that's McAvoy for Pittenet. That's good. Cancel that out. So
that's
who
takes? Now I think.
Yeah.
I would take Schoenmakers out. If it was up to me.
Yep.
I don't think he's really justified his spot at all. But I actually think they'll keep Schoenmakers. I think they really like him, and I think that, you know, they've sort of shown in the past that they really sort of value experience, particularly in finals. So I think they'll keep him, and I really hate to say this, but I hope it doesn't happen, but I think that they'll drop Ryan Burton for this game.
Disappointing.
And just because it's the only other player. It's the only other player that I can think of that would get dropped.
I know.
But, I think that's going to happen. I think it'll be Stratton in for Burton.
Yeah, because Hartung played well, and so they won't drop him. He's the usual out bloke. So, I think you may be right. Oh, God, disappointing. Disappointed to lose Ryan Burton. Now, that kid can really play and he can add value to Hawthorn, but you're right, they tend to go with the experience in these situations, and we need people who know what they're doing against Geelong.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Ryan Schoenmakers does know what he's doing against Geelong, but the last time he was incredibly poor against Geelong, so I don't know if that... But I hope I'm wrong. I hope they do keep Burton in the side. And I hope surely they won't drop Billy Hartung again. I don't know why
they
keep dropping that guy.
No, they won't. He played really well. He played really well the other day, so he'd be fine.
He plays well every time he plays. Yeah. I don't know why they keep dropping him. But, I've got a feeling that it's going to be Burton who misses out. And I hope he doesn't, though. I'd rather keep Schoenmakers. I'd rather drop Schoenmakers.
Yeah. It's only the height thing which keeps him in. But anyway, anything else, Michael?
That's about it. I think, I don't know, what are your feelings going into this Geelong game, this final?
I'm not that hopeful really, Michael. It's funny, I've talking to a few people about how I view this final series. I don't have a lot of, a couple weeks ago I was thinking we'll win the premiership, and I think we can win the premiership, but a lot of things need to go right. And I'm just sort of like not feeling that is going to happen at the minute, but I don't know. I think anything's possible. So every game is a sort of I'm sort of like thinking, well, if we lose, well, you know, there you go. Hawthorn supporters can't complain too much. We've been blessed with their magnificence for years. So, you know, if we don't do well this year, don't win the premiership, well, so be it. But, you know, so I'm not really answering your question. All I'm saying is that I think anything's possible. We could win the premiership or we could lose this week and, you know, face another home game. I think we'll get through the plenary final, Michael. I think we'll get to the plenary final day at least. I think that seems likely. So we'll be in the top four at the end of the day, and whether we go to grand final is another matter. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. I think straight after the Collingwood game, I was absolutely convinced
we were talking.
No way that we could possibly beat Geelong.
Yeah.
But I think now, I don't know, I'm sort of wondering whether the week off will help Hawthorn.
Someone was saying it's going to be raining on Friday night. Is that right?
Apparently it is.
Well, that actually helps Hawthorn.
Well, I don't know if it does. Because
I think it does.
If from memory...
All their big blokes.
Maybe this... From memory, and I don't know if this really matters too much, but I think nearly all of those 11 games we lost to them were in the wet.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But I don't know whether there's anything to do...
This is a different team, though. Yeah, when I heard it, I thought, oh, that might help us. Like, who knows? Who knows? I mean, good teams play well in the wet as well as in the dry, so it's not really a, you know... Not really a big thing when it comes to good teams like Hawthorn and Geelong.
I think most of this is sort of the results kind of relying on Hawthorn.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like a strange thing to say, but I think mainly because we sort of know what we're going to get with Geelong.
Yeah, we do.
I think we know we're going to get their best footy no matter what.
Yeah,
but
no matter what.
With Hawthorn, I think, I don't know. It just depends. If it's the same Hawthorn that's played for the last couple of months of the season, I think probably no chance. In fact, I think Geelong could really get a hold of them, and we could even get smashed.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe the Hawthorn have got a really good record in finals and really big occasion, like a lot of big occasion players. So maybe that'll come to the front.
Yeah,
maybe.
Let's hope so.
But if I had to say yes or no, I'd probably think it's a bit more unlikely that we're going to win.
Michael, if we win the premiership this year, this will be our most glorious win. Because we're coming from way back. And I think if we win it this year, this will be the most amazing performance of all the premierships we've actually seen in our life. So, and we've seen a few, Michael. We've seen a few glorious ones. So, look, I'm hopeful, and I think we're all Hawthorn supporters are hopeful we can go all the way this year. And let's just, I won't give up. Just because we lose this week doesn't mean it's all over either, because we saw from last year losing one final doesn't mean the season's over. So I'm still...
I'm kind of... to me, I think this week's going to sort of tell us. I think if we beat Geelong, then we probably could go on and win it. But if we lose, I'm pretty convinced that this is the end.
I reckon if we win on Friday night against Geelong, we are going to win the flag. No question at all. There's no doubt about that. They'll go on and win it, because every time we get a break, it's good for the Hawthorn, the older players. It actually works to our advantage. So if we win this weekend, we are definitely going to win the flag. If we lose, makes it tricky, but it can be done. We did it last year. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be as definitive. I'm probably saying I'll be definitive as much as I think if we lose, there's no way that we'll win the flag. But if we win, I think there's a chance. Whereas right now, I think there's not much of a chance.
Okay, yeah. Well, Michael, anything else?
No, that's it.
Nope, that's it.
I hope we win.
I hope we win.
I hate Geelong.
We hate them. Had to be the old enemy, of course. God, Father. So anyway, look, I'm looking forward to Friday night and this whole weekend. I love the final series. Always great fun. So we'll be back next week, folks, dissecting and predicting and all the usuals we do next week on the show, because we'll do a show every week now while Hawthorn's in the finals. So anything else, Michael, need to say?
No, that's it. I hope we're back next week talking about a win. But we'll see what happens.
There we go. Look, folks, thanks for listening in. We love Hawthorn. We know you do as well too. And we're looking forward to a big Friday night. Beat those Cats. Come on, Hawks. Let's get into them.